let's talk about the war and get that out of the way. Even by Trumpian standards, right? So I've been reading a lot about the rise of fascism and the anatomy of fascism, as my old professor at Columbia, Robert O. Paxton, described it. And yeah, it's sort of like, because it's the rhetoric is always hostile, hyper-masculine, and aggressive, it logically leads to constant escalation, right? Mm-hmm. And then ultimately culminating with war, and that destroys the regime in both the case of the two classic 20th, mid-20th century fascist movements in Italy and Germany. I feel like we're seeing that now with Trump, where he's saying, open the fucking strait, you crazy bastards. I mean, he's obviously panicking. The John and I talked about this last week. Oil tanker, the last oil tankers that got through the Strait of Hormuz are now arriving at their ports in Europe and around the world. And that's it now. And so... yeah. There's already gas. There's been gas hoarding in the UK. They're talking about gas rationing there. There is gas rationing already in Vietnam and Myanmar and Singapore. It's going to get worse. The heat is on. You know, Trump is taking calls from world leaders and corporate leaders all over the world, like from who are in a panic. I just smell, if I'm the Iranians, I smell panic, fear, and desperation.
At the point where, let me break this down into two parts, because I agree with everything you just said, everything that came out of your mouth. If the president of the United States, there's this element, let's go back to Obama for a moment. Obama had this polish associated with him, and many of the presidents that were there before had this idea of polish. Like, there are certain things the president don't do, and there's a certain cadence that the president needs to maintain, you know, for the dignity of the office, right? Mm-hmm. And you see the wheels falling off in real terms. Like, for the president to get out like he came out of a brothel and he's screaming bloody murder with F-bombs and everything else, mm-hmm. that is way beyond the pale. And you think to yourself, if the president has to act this way and say this, something's wrong. Something's gone monstrously wrong. And what's gone monstrously wrong is that he doesn't have the capability of accomplishing the objectives that he claimed that he was out there to accomplish. It's that. And so, you know, if you're Trump and you find yourself in this fix and it's like, how do you get out of this? And he doesn't have an answer. Then you get this. You get bluster. You get threats. You get the moving of the goalposts. You get the, you know, we're going to destroy Russia if they don't do X and they don't come to the bargaining table. At which point Taco always backs out because Taco doesn't have the capability that Taco claims that he has. It's bluster. So, yeah, if I'm the Iranians, I'm looking at this as, we didn't want this war. This isn't what we asked for. We continuously tried to push it off, even to our own detriment, we pushed it off. But since it's here, wars are used to reshape, let's say, the balance of force and balance of power, and that's what we're going to do. And I suspect that's what they're doing. I don't know. I think they sense blood in the water. They have to. It's not about the number of people that are killed. Obviously, that's horrible. But they are effectively reshaping the landscape of the Middle East in real terms, like in hard power sense. Yeah, he doesn't know what to do.
Honestly, it's an awe-inspiring example of geopolitical jujitsu. Mm-hmm. It's so impressive. And I think, you know, part of what the Iranians are counting on is first of all, they're isolated, right? They're the only major Shia state. Bahrain is not their friend, even though it's majority Shia. In any way, it's small. It's a U.S. vassal. So the Iranians are figuring, we're the natural regional superpower, the natural regional hegemon in the Middle East. We've been around for 7,000 years. And we've had enough of negotiating not once, but twice with the Americans and the Israelis. And then they attack us during peace negotiations. This can't happen anymore. Like, we can't have that. And then I think also they're thinking, look, we close the Strait of Hormuz and oil prices go up. Our oil revenues double. We get to charge a toll to any ship that's passing through the Strait. So we're going to have more money to rebuild our infrastructure after this is all over. And probably the Americans are going to have to agree to lift sanctions. The Americans will never pay reparations. but they will definitely have to lift sanctions at some point. And you know, I think the bluster here is the last hurrah for Trump. I mean, you know, I wrote a little bio of him a few years ago, and I was fascinated by this battle he had when he was a real estate developer with these old ladies who had rent-controlled apartments on Central Park South. And Trump bought the building, and he tried to evict them so he could convert all these rent-controlled units to luxury high-rise condos.
Right.
Ultimately, this thing dragged on for years, and it got really ugly. He hired goons and crackheads to move into the building and throw like these old ladies down the stairs and stuff. He like almost killed some, okay? But in the end, it went through the courts and he lost. And I interviewed the lady who was the head of the Tenants Association. She said it was the weirdest thing. She ran into Donald Trump in the lobby and he couldn't have been nicer. He was like, "Oh, it's good to see you." In other words, it wasn't personal. It's just a game for him. He just does. He's a sociopath. He doesn't care. I think in this case, I guess the question is, that was a long time ago. He was in his, you know, in his 50s back then. Now he's going to be 80. You know, does he have the flexibility to realize at some point at 3 o'clock in the morning, I lost. I've got to come out of my hidey hole and make nice with the Iranians. Question, Mustafa, did Trump say praise be to Allah in that tweet?
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
It's so insulting. And yes, on Easter did. Sunday, on top of it all. But like, it's like, really, you manage. So, okay, so this does bring up the 25th Amendment. I mean, I think we're there. You know, I mean, look, we were there under Biden. Should have been removed. I honestly believe it's Vice President Vance's patriotic duty to invoke the 25th Amendment and get that majority vote from the cabinet to remove President Trump and for him to take over. I think it would also be for the betterment of the Republican Party, because they're headed towards major defeats this fall. Trumpism is winding down. He's at 35% approval rate, which is the lowest of the entire time of both terms he's been in office. It's like, you know, I mean, and honestly, he's unhinged. I mean, there's something wrong with him. And I'm not sure exactly what it is, but the man he's acting. I mean, this is mania.
No, I agree with you. I mean, I think I heard you say something about fascism or something like that, whether we were going down that path. And it might have been one of the previous videos I was watching on the channel. But he was always unhinged, though. I mean, he might have been, he's obviously gotten worse. Don't get me wrong. But he was always this unhinged lunatic of a character. That's why they elected him in many respects. Like, don't get me wrong. I know the whole thing of, I'm not going to start wars. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to touch Medicare. Well, that's another story, right? That apparently he's going after either Social Security or Medicare. But Donald Trump was never a trustworthy figure. Like, that was like, is that really the guy before this term that you look at and you think to yourself, he's obviously trustworthy? Or is it, that guy's obviously full of, you know, full of it. He's a blustering con artist. He's a flim-flam artist. And I'm almost shocked that people are shocked. I mean, granted, some of this stuff is very unhinged. The idea that you're going to say, praise be to Allah, as you're murdering people in a particular country in an unprovoked war of aggression is outrageous. It's outrageous. I mean, it's beyond offensive, right? Like, it's one thing if I say something about your mama. It's another thing if I murdered your mama and say something about your mama. One is doubly worse than the other. Right. And they've killed thousands. Right. He's saying stuff like this.
I mean, he's destroyed, he and his ally Israel, I mean, also, it's got to be like a special insult, right? Like, not only are you attacking us as Americans, but you're bringing your Jewish state ally in to bomb us as well.
Right.
I mean, the whole thing is, I mean, it's so offensive. And Isfahan and other religious, historically and religiously notable sites have been blown up by the Americans and by the Israelis.